nowadays it's so easy to be passive as a Christian guy, especially like, oh, you're saved, you're good, you don't have to do really much anymore. You're going to war now, right?
Exactly.
You're saved, guess what? You're going to war.
Dude, where's the heat? This guy just said, yo, what if a skinny guy comes up to you, punches you?
Sure, I'll give you guys the context. If you were to get into a fight, muscles won't save you. Okay. Only acquired skills that is used in a combat sports is the one that could save your life. Hey, like, you can't trust with it with the same thing what you're saying, but my idea isn't don't make money. I'm just not connecting money the same way you guys connecting God and money. That's all.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Bros Think Big. Today we're going to be talking about how we believe that every Christian man, specifically Christian man, should be physically fit and mentally, spiritually, and physically strong. We're going to get into why we even thought about this and how this came about, because I remember, Mike, you were just sitting here and you said, I believe every Christian man should be physically fit.
Yeah.
You said, that's it. That's how it should be. And go, yo, why don't we make that a topic?
I think you said this like last week.
I think it was something like that. Why did that even come to your mind?
Because I think we were talking about like our standards the one time and how
I feel like
nowadays it's so easy to be passive as a Christian guy, especially like, oh, you're saved, you're good, you don't have to do really much anymore.
Right.
It's like, you know, like it shouldn't be like that. Just because you're saved doesn't really mean that you should kind of just like be soft, passive, and comfortable.
Right.
If anything, you're going to war now, right?
Exactly.
You're saved, guess what? You're going to war with like,
it's like, if you're not strong, how are you going to be able to pick up the cross? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Carry it.
But I'm mentally strong, Georgie.
Yeah, Georgie. No, let's get to that. So when we brought up that whole thing with being physically strong.
2v1.
I mean, we were trying to specifically address the issue of being disciplined enough.
Context though, right?
Being disciplined enough to go to the gym or do physical activity where you build the muscle and build the strength as a man. Right, which is the purpose that God gave us, to be strong and to use it to defend others and go against injustice by being physically strong. Now, obviously, you need mental and spiritual strength too. But I do personally, me too, even in our church sometimes, I do see people just kind of, it looks like they let go of themselves. Like there's no discipline of what they eat, especially considering the food that we have in America. People need to be more aware of what they eat and how much they eat, because in America, it's so much easier to gain weight than other countries because of the foods and the chemicals that are within the food.
Yeah, food, so lifestyle, easy. Propaganda, all of it.
Yeah, exactly. You drive a lot, you barely walk.
I also think that, you know, mostly it's with Christians, like they prioritize, and this is good. I think every Christian should prioritize this, and there's no doubt that they do prioritize this, but they prioritize the faith in God so much that they forget about all the other things that is also necessary.
So in other words, spirituality.
Exactly. So spirituality, working out, eating healthy, being having the acquired skills as a man to be able to do a lot of things, right? Be a man, be a man in the house. All these type of things, they forget it because they're focused on one thing. And then when you tell them about this thing, this is their answer. That's a secondary thing, though. It's all about God. As long as you, sure, that's a great thing. But all the other things, it's necessary for you to be even follower of Christ
and be ready for what's kind of coming at you. Now, dude, where's the heat? This guy just said, yo, what if a skinny guy comes up to you, punches you?
Sure, I'll give you guys the context. Let's give them the context too, where we started all this. You said every man, and I caught you on the word. I didn't necessarily mean like, exact, because you said they should like care about their physique. This is the word you guys used. All I said,
physically strong. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, the physique, like focus in the gym, and then don't worry about the physique. But I'll tell you another thing: muscles don't do anything, though, right? We know that. Muscles, you have strength, but it does nothing. If you were to get into a fight, muscles won't save you. Okay. Only acquired skills that is used in a combat sports is the one that could save your life. Otherwise, yes, sure, you could probably defend yourself, but
To some extent,
yeah, right. So that's what I meant. It's not about the physique and it's not about the gym. Gym helps you gain the strength,
and
but gym doesn't help you acquire the skills as a man. To be a man, even. Mm. You know what I mean?
Well, I think the difference between best shape and the skills to be able to like, be dangerous and to defend yourself. They're two different things. But yeah, they can kind of coexist within each other, but
sure.
What I'm saying is, like, I think you're right too. Like, I don't disagree
with
you.
That's just the simplest outward appearance of what you do, right? Go ahead,
Mike. Yeah. No, what I was going to say, those two are...
No, I think we're on the same page.
Yeah, exactly. I think that we're on the same page. My whole point was that there are some people at church who are just like, they're fat, unfortunately, right? Yeah. They don't look like they take care of themselves. And I'm glad they go to church. I'm glad they have a relationship with God. But since you have a relationship with God, does that not pull you to want to like be a better person, be the best version of yourself?
Right.
I don't think God put you on earth to be fat and obese and lazy and not ambitious. And
you know, in fact, like, he does talk about being gluttony, right?
Yeah, it's gluttony. Gluttony is taking advantage of overabundance.
It's actually, if I'm not mistaken, it's actually a sin, right? To be a gluttony, to be fat and not work out.
Gluttony like, as a sin is not just being fat. It's overindulgence.
Yeah, that.
In anything. So you don't have to be fat. Gluttony could also be me just like escaping into my phone, just like consuming so much content.
No, that's what I meant. Yeah, of course. Because the word itself, though, if we go back to the definitions of gluttony, the word itself comes from the food specifically.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Because the Bible actually talks about a lot of other things.
It's an overall like sin that it's just, there's more to it than just...
Right. Especially considering, you know, the day and age we live in with technology.
Yeah.
That can also probably kind of took over.
It's abusing the abundance that you have pretty much. And taking it for granted. That's what like it is with food. Right. You eat so much food that you're almost taking it for granted because you don't need that much.
And then
much.
You become lazy when you eat a lot of food and you're not physically fit and stuff. You become lazy.
Yeah.
It just comes with it. That's all. Eating bad food, just laziness comes with it.
I have another take too. And this word, this sentence does have chase in it too. And we discussed about the word, but I'm gonna touch up on it. It is why every Christian man should chase success and glorify God in their works. Not chase success, but to want to desire and strive towards success.
Right.
But like success and that type of life is a byproduct of you walking Christ and walking purpose, I feel like.
Because when you think of success, what comes to mind?
That's subjective, right?
Right.
Everyone has a different idea of success in their head. Most people, right? It's money, right? Being financially free, which isn't a problem at all.
Exactly.
But I think it's deeper than that. I think it's deeper than just being financially free. Yeah. Like, we want to be financially free, but why, right? That's the next question, right? Like, we want to pursue freedom, but I'm sure there's things that we actually do want to do because we gain this freedom, but there's things that we actually want to do that if we weren't getting paid a dime, we would do anyway. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what we should be chasing, not necessarily like that financial aspect itself that comes with it.
What's
going to
make me a lot of money? And you know what's another thing? As a Christian and as we've been walking with the Lord, the more you submit to the Lord and you let Him take you to where He wants you to go and letting Him reveal the purpose He has for you, the more you understand that these are more of a gift and a responsibility rather than only going by desire, right? So,
you know, sorry, I was going to cut you off.
No,
I didn't mean to cut you off.
Because I'm going to say something.
Literally, the time when I was doing self-development in the beginning, that's when I found Christ, when I literally was getting better for like not a good reason at all. Like I was developing, I was getting into good shape. I wanted to pursue entrepreneurship.
Oh,
we had this podcast. But it wasn't for the wrong reason. It wasn't for a good enough reason.
Okay.
So it wasn't a bad...
It wasn't thought enough.
Yeah, it wasn't like deep enough, right?
Yeah.
And so once I pursued God, started reading the Bible, started reading about Jesus, learning more about Him, I understood like, wow, like this is deeper. I want to get better, not just for myself, but for Him His people, right?
Yeah.
And what He's created.
I
so
want
it's
Him to
deeper
be the
now.
Example of what how I want my life to be,
mm-hmm.
right?
Exactly. And so it's more, it's like as a Christian, I was like, now I want to develop even more, right?
Right.
It wasn't, oh, I can lay back now. I'm good. I don't got to do any of this. No, it's like, now I need to attack even more. I should be more ambitious. I should go out there and work as hard as I can.
Right. The way, I mean, if I had to say my opinion about it, there's some things that I don't agree with what mm-hmm. you said. And just in general, what some Christians say about making money should be the one strongest ways to, I guess, glorify God, because I feel like there's just different reasons why we're called to do other things other than making money. And I guess, you know how you said, like, glorifying God through making money, right? But I feel like there's just different ways, healthier ways to
glorify God. I think the way I'm looking at the purpose of a God creating mankind is to be together and for us to guide people that are lost. And I don't think that can be through money. I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I did back then. That's what I thought.
What was different though?
But now that I'm reading the Bible, I'm starting to understand that actually the best way you can help someone is teach them Bible and teach them the Word of God.
Well, I agree with you.
I think money is helps, but it's like it's super low compared to how you can spiritually help somebody.
The thing is,
why I don't like to say.
What would we do if there was only spirituality? But no.
Well, I'm not saying that either, right? I'm not saying you shouldn't even make money. You should, of course.
Well,
Look, money. How about this? Let's just even define what money is. Money isn't something that you necessarily like have to really like. You have to have money on your mind, otherwise you're not gonna have money. That's not true. You can.
Yeah.
You can work. You can have work at a normal job and make money. You can still do that too. But the problem with even chasing the idea of being financially free could even be a trap, because then you are chasing money. Whether you want it or not, you are chasing money, because why are you even chasing for the financial freedom when it's not necessary? Let's be honest. Do you think financial freedom is necessary? I don't think so.
Well, let's go back to the definitions. What is when you hear financial freedom, what do you understand that as? And then we can get into what it actually means.
Because
financial freedom, the word itself already tells you. You don't have to worry about
money.
How much you need to pay for something. You're just like, I have enough money. I don't need to worry about how much the check is going to be on the table for the food, because I got it. I don't need to worry about my next flight because I already have the money for it. These type of stuff. You're not concerned about it. It's not your worry because you got the cash flow, right? Now, this isn't...
How do you make the cash
this
flow?
This isn't something that, go to that a lot point? Of people... Right. This isn't something that a lot of people... One, attain, and two, if they do attain it, sometimes it is not in a way where maybe God would want you to make that money, right? So the percentage of people being financially free is low, but it's even lower of the people who actually do it to serve God and do it for His kingdom. However, there are people who are gifted with this, but if they don't use it properly, in a way where it glorifies God, then they are pretty much using that gift, because it is an ability. I believe that making money is an ability, and it's a gift that you can corrupt, meaning you have the mind to know how to make money. You have kind of like the strategies on how to make money. You know how it works. You know how to attain it. It's a tool, right? And people have a gift with that. So when you have that gift, you can say it is a gift for me to gain it for myself, where it is a gift for me to gain it and then be able to, one, teach others how to do it, use it for God's kingdom, and use it to better other people's lives. Because what do people do when they make money? Some get nice cars, some go on yachts, invite a bunch of girls, hook up with them, just kind of spend it all because they also get a lot. But then there are people who have a lot of money, and yet you're going to think these people are broke, but they're not broke. They know how to make money, but they also use it very responsibly. That means they're using the gift responsibly, right?
Back to the thing you told me, defining like being financially free. Well, you've got to understand, like, you don't have to worry about money. That means you're making so much that you don't even need to go work. You can sit home, relax, and the money, you have money already. You can
relax.
Relaxing in a way where you're not working towards.
They do it digitally, money, right? I don't know. When people are financially free, they either have a business, a successful business, they're either doing like digital work where they can just work from anywhere, and the income is just so big that the work itself doesn't require that.
They have a lot of leverage, physically. As in like they don't like if they have to do like the minimal amount of tasks for the most amount of money, pretty much.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of like how it works. But I personally don't have the skills to understand how that works just yet.
Okay.
And I do not know if those people who do that, because they don't specifically always say what they do. Not most of them. They do post, oh, like I have this. They post their lifestyle, but they don't necessarily get into, yo, this is actually what I do, and this is making calls. Only few do that. So So I wouldn't know if it's a righteous way of doing it or not. But I mean, it's kind of easy. But when it comes to doing it righteously, that's when it becomes hard.
I'm not even against. I don't know. I feel like there's a little misunderstanding with what I'm saying, because maybe you guys are not understanding what I'm saying. I'm not saying money.
Things you don't.
Selfie's bad. I think I'm just talking about, you can't really put two things together. I don't think you can ever put money and God together. Never. And he says it in the Bible too.
If well, how are you putting them together?
Because you're saying, I also want to be a good Christian, follow God, yeah, but I also want to be financially free, have business, you know, make all this money. You're literally at the end of the day choosing both money and God.
Would you want to be financially free?
If we define it the way I define it, no. So the Lord, no.
What? You wouldn't want to have money where you don't worry about how much you're spending, that you have enough, you have sufficient money?
I define it for you. I think either I have a wrong definition of being financially free, or you do.
I'm not talking about the process, right? We're kind of breaking it down into...
Okay, let's break it down and go before you become financially free. What do you need to do to be able to acquire those skills even, or work that you need to put in? What do you, at the end of the day, when you want to acquire that type of skills even,
right,
to become financially free, what do you do? What do you have to do? Do you have to go out of your way and focus on making money so that you understand that, look, this is my business. I have this business, right, already. I built this. I was focusing on this all these years. Now I'm financially free. You're focusing on that.
100%.
Here's the thing.
That's what I'm saying. You can't put those two things together. You're either focusing on that, or you're focusing on something else, which is more important. Because the way I'm looking at it is, I think it's way more important that we focus on work, physical work that we need to do to help people, instead of focusing, make money so that we can be financial free and then help people. Why are we doing that?
I agree with that point.
And then if the money comes, it comes. Why are people worrying about being financially free? Making sure what I have on the table, make sure like I have a house. You don't need much until you're told from the world that you can have all this stuff and be a good Christian.
I'm gonna let him talk, and then I have a point to make.
Here's the thing, right? Because you brought up a great point. I agree with you when you say, if you really want money, like, you have to focus on helping people, and then money comes. That's totally the point. It's like I think it depends on what you focus on. Because if I want money, right? And I'm thinking, okay, I want money. Okay, what do I have to do? I have to help people. Okay, so I don't have to worry about the money. All I have to worry about is helping people, right? But I think it's also the intention too. If it's like, oh, I just want to help people to make money, then I think the intention is not the best, right? Versus where it's just like, you know what, God, I love your people. I want to serve as many people as possible with the skill set that I have and the things that I want to build and create and help as many people as possible. And if the money comes, God bless. Like, then what? Like, if I make a lot of money but help a lot of people, it's like, I don't think it's a bad thing at all.
Okay, then you're not, there you go. The answer is then, that's what I was trying to say. You can't put those two things together. You're either chasing to be financially free, or you're chasing to help money. And I said, it can come with it. What if it never does? Then what are you going to do? You see,
freedom doesn't mean that you're constrained.
Wait, then you come, okay, take the whole being financially free out of it.
Yeah,
like I'm just talking.
I think
about,
he does get a better rap, because then people get greedy. When they say financially free, I'll be honest. Some of the perspectives I've heard of financial freedom is just travel, have a nice house, have a lot of.
You don't
cars.
Have to work anymore,
right?
You don't have to work anymore.
You don't have to. But if anything, I would think you have to serve more.
Yeah.
The more you have, the more you have to expend, right? But it gets because teenagers usually have that ambition of financial. What?
Materialistically serving?
Yeah, that could be one of them, right? You use the money.
What
right?
good does that
you use
does
the money
to someone though?
George, listen, hear me out. You use the money. Let's say I use the money, right, to go and buy somebody a car that they do not have.
Okay.
Meaning they do not have a car to drive, or they have a very old car. I have the money, I go, I can give you money. I have so much money, I buy somebody a house. I go live in that house. I have a business. I can tell somebody, look, you probably don't even like what you're doing. Or somebody who is hopeless, I go, yo, I have an opportunity for you at my business. I'm going to get you started from the lowest position and work your way up. But this will depend on your hard work. I can only do so much to offer you an opportunity.
The rest has to be up to you, right? That's what I like about business, entrepreneurship. You offer an opportunity for people to do what they don't get to do in a 9-to-5, right?
Where, it's
a
business. Where does Christianity teach that, though? Make sure
you serve people.
Wait.
You help people.
You see, biblical understanding of serving people is very different from a worldly understanding of serving people.
Okay.
All right, that's number one. Number two, there's no such a thing, Bible, even God telling you, Sadula and my followers, make sure you guys gather up wealth, use the gift that I've given you, make sure you serve others, buy houses for them, buy cars for them, make sure that they're not going hungry. Bible, doesn't Bible talk about it's not about bread? It literally just tells you that it's not about food, it's not about house, it's not about car.
What do we do then? Why are you driving a car?
Well, I'm just trying to tell you that I think serving that Bible talks about is different from the understanding of serving people.
This is my perspective. This is my perspective. God gives people different gifts. Sometimes God gives people a gift to be a very, very good spiritual teacher, a very good financial teacher, let's say. Separate those two, right? So there are people that are people who have a gift, and I mean a true gift of, you know, preaching the word of God, meaning the Bible. That's why you don't just see everybody being a pastor, right? Everybody's not a pastor. Some have that unique gift of preaching the gospel. Now, you're a businessman, but you still preach the word of God in the ability that you are given by God. That, you know, you're preaching the good news, you're making sure that people understand that, okay, I'm successful, but don't look at me as if I got everything. Because if I don't have God, I don't have anything. So remember that first I have God, and that's why I have these stuff. You bring people to God through your success, not to money through your success. There's a difference, right? Now, but God gave you a gift to make money. So when you make money, you can now, with that gift, not pervert it and bring people to love the money, but to love the fact that you're able to serve and use God's glory through the gift that he has given you. Meaning, people who make a lot of money, some of them say, and I'm talking about the ones who, like, here's the thing. When Isaiah was talking, that really opened up my eyes to what it can look like of somebody who is gifted to make money, use it for God's glory, right? And I think that he's doing that, as far as I know, right? From what I've heard, what I've seen, the way he talks, he goes, God can just take it all away right now. I don't have a problem. I will submit to him, because for him, God is first, and he's just using his gift and the ability that he has to use the skill sets to make money. So if you can have that and God gave you that gift, I think not using it could also be you going against God's gift for you and operating from fear rather than through faith, right?
When they say,
I'm not saying said it, but it kind of came out that you're separating the two, when you don't always have to separate those two because they're two different gifts. God is first, but being a pastor is not above being a businessman. Why? You understand? Being a pastor is not over being a businessman. I don't think so. They're two different purposes. For you, that being a pastor might be higher because you have a more connection to serving people through pastoral actions, right? But then for somebody, having the ability to serve people with the skill set that they have is their way of serving people, meaning God called us to be servants, but not people who are arrogant or greedy and not humble about the fact that you have this ability. And the thing is, it's the easiest way to corrupt yourself in power, which comes from money, as well as pastor. You're a pastor, and now you really have that. Because look, as a pastor, in my opinion, you have, one, a lot of control, a lot of influence, and somebody that's looked at as, how do I say this? As a character that you're looking up to, right? In a way, a spiritual father, you can say, right? You talk to them about things that you don't know the answers to, but they do. They have the experience that you don't, right? They can use that and brainwash people, make them follow them rather than God.
They can say, yeah, I can do it. I can do it. And then corrupt that. Same with a businessman, right? So when it comes to power, that but money that is nowhere corruption.
Close to that type of gift and serving you're talking about. Can you show me? Because I can show you a verse where it separates those two things. And it actually, a lot of times, riches and poor are like not poor as like being like totally broke, being without home and being lazy and just doing drugs. Not that type of being broke, but it really distinguishes between someone that chases money and someone that doesn't chase money. That's why he doesn't have that much wealth. That's what I mean. It really distinguishes those two things, choosing money and God. It really distinguishes, and you have to think about it. Why does that? Sure, it's not a bad thing. Yeah. What you said makes a lot of sense. I think you can actually serve, and there's just so many ways you can serve people. You know that? Like, I can go out and I can actually make money in a way that I'm kind of going out of my way,
right,
and to make that money. But then I can go and give that money to someone. It's a good thing to do, though. Is it a right thing to do? Would God approve of you going out of your way, doing even like not that honest work,
right?
Make that money and make sure that you buy somebody a house, buy somebody a car. I personally don't think so.
I don't think so either. You said not honest work. Why would someone want to do honest work and make money?
People do.
I bet.
And then you know what they say?
That's why it's a dangerous.
This is a God-given gift that I'm using to make all this money. And then, look, I'm helping people
then
out.
Then it's not a God-given gift. If it's dishonest and it's not of God, that means it's not a God's gift.
How do you know it's a God-given gift and you're saying it's not? Well, where does it come
sometimes
from?
Sometimes it requires faith,
belief, discernment. Sometimes you just have to kind of trust people and see, okay, I understand this person saying this. I go, yo, great. Love to hear that. But then you look at their fruits. Do their fruits approve that? If not, Jesus tells us about that. Judge somebody based on their fruits. What kind of fruits does somebody bear? That is the biggest discernment you can have as a Christian to know if somebody is doing what they're preaching. If I say I love God, let's say, right? I turn around, slap Mike in the face, I'm a hypocrite, right? That's an example. That means I said one thing, but I did the other. Same with, oh, I love God so much. And then next thing you know, somebody's going to make money and they're going to go to a strip club, let's say. Right? That's not how it works.
But you're flipping.
Or they support something that has to do with people.
But you're giving me two scenarios that can always work in any way. Right? In any way.
Let's not narrow it down.
I'm connecting God and money. I'm talking about.
You shouldn't connect
them. I'm talking about different. All right. Okay. Then I'm asking you again. I'm almost like, because look, I'm reading the Bible and I've been reading it from start to, and I'm about to like. Going to the Gospels, I'm already like finishing up the Old Testament. And dude, nowhere in the Bible actually, like, I've been searching for this. I've been hearing from a lot of people keep saying this thing over and over again. You can be a Christian. You can love God. You can also success. You can also make a lot of money. You can make sure that you live in a good house, a good car. Make sure that you can help all these people with, you can buy houses for them. You can buy, like, none of that stuff is mentioned. Money and serving people with wealth is not mentioned in the Bible. And yeah, you might say King Solomon, but that was different. That was completely different because he asked for wisdom and God gave him that. But how do we know? How do we know? And you're saying, yeah, sure, the fruits they bear, right? But what if someone bears a good fruit, but you don't know where their money comes from? You can almost be blinded to it. That's why you can't, like, I know I can say, like, you can't trust with it with the same thing what you're saying, but my idea isn't don't make money. I'm just not connecting money the same way you guys connecting God and money. That's all. I'm not saying you guys.
But let's get to Solomon's story, right? When Solomon was given all that money, the silver, at some point there was so much silver at that time and it was so valuable during that time. However, if somebody found it, it was so cheap, like one coin, it was so cheap that they wouldn't even bother taking it. That's how it was. Pretty much silver had so much value, but people were in such abundance that it was like 1 cent for an average person. Now, this is the idea of that time period, right? And, you know, we can fact check, just check this, but look, when God put people in that abundance, right, and he gave Solomon the ability to do that, he didn't say, go and use this wealth in, you know, the abundance for yourself or for minority.
He built a temple where they served the Lord. A huge temple that people would know that is the Lord's temple. So he used Solomon's gift, the ability for him to have that much money and the wealth and the wisdom too. Notice how he got so much money from being wise and being a follower.
He got the money?
And the servant of
he was building up businesses.
I'm not sure
he was trading.
Dude, I don't have the context. How did Solomon make money? How was he so wealthy? I don't know the context. The Bible's not specific in that. It's not, is it?
What?
Does it show what Solomon was necessarily doing to make that money? It just shows.
No, wasn't he a king?
He was all given from God.
Yeah, but how?
Okay, how about this? Do you believe that God can?
Do you think God snapped his finger and Solomon had money?
I'm trying to understand where your thought process
I don't think he was trading. I don't think he was being in a business in the old way, I guess, to make money.
I don't think that, but what is it? It's not what you think. It's not what I think. It's not what Mike thinks. We're not talking about opinions. I would like to believe God just does this and the money falls. Because now all I get to do is not work for the money, right?
Okay, how about this? Okay,
What does he actually do?
I'm asking you the same question. Okay, I don't know.
Like I said, he blesses you with the ability to make
money.
What
was the ability of Solomon? I don't know this. You don't know this either, but I'm asking you, can you search it up?
He was a wise man and he was a servant. He wanted to serve God's people so much that
God... I feel like let's not talk about this because I don't have a context to that and you don't have it either. We can save that for next episode.
But I think what I'm saying though, here, look it up, but hear me out first. Ready? This is what happened.
I need to look into
Solomon's character. Solomon's character had to involve a lot of trust from God and a lot of and a big character in terms of his faith in God, right? To serve people, not to use that money and the wealth for his own will and to be a corrupt king. Meaning, God gave him that ability for wealth as well as wisdom. What did he do with that money? Did he use it for corruption? Because a lot of kings would do that when you read the Old Testament. They would have all the power in the world and they would corrupt that. What did Solomon do? He served people. He loved. Because he said, God, I want to love your people so much and serve your people so much. What can I do for you? And he said, you're the man that I can trust with wealth. Because money corrupts people easily. We can see that in today's world. When people have money, they tend to worship money. Solomon didn't worship money. Solomon worshiped God and used the money to help.
I think the point we're missing, all three of us right now, that you guys are thinking what I'm saying is this, which I'm not saying that. You guys have a wrong context. I'll say it again.
Questioned me on it. That's
yes, why. But you guys have, like I said, you guys are still going off on the same thing what I just told you. Listen to me right now, right?
Okay, I am.
What I'm saying is, I'm not saying it's not God-given gift when somebody's making money. But Solomon didn't necessarily go out his way to chase money, guys. Don't you guys understand from what I'm saying?
What do you mean chase money?
He never even mentioned money in his words. Not even once in his prayer said, God, I want all this money. He didn't. All he asked for was wisdom. Tell me one person that's making money and he's not asking God for money. Tell me one person.
I can't. I mean, I don't know. I haven't talked to people.
The thing is, I don't sit here and ask God for money. But why are we talking about this?
Mike, because you guys are comparing chasing money in a way, because you are still chasing money to be financially free. What else are you chasing? You're not chasing house, are you?
Well, I can just change the word from chasing to striving towards
it. Okay, striving. Let's just say, how are you willing to strive to that?
To strive to be financially free by creating a business that serves the right people.
Exactly. How do you create a business?
What do you mean, how do you create a business? Are we going to have business 101 here?
Well, my point is that you are still chasing money to build a business, no? You still have to still chase money.
Why are we using the word chase?
Because
if we shouldn't chase money.
If we search up being financially free, that's what I'm thinking. That's why I told you. How about this? You educate me. Actually, I'm actually like, I want you guys to tell me.
I do not have the qualification to say how do you make that much money, but
no, don't tell me how much
you make
that money.
I do believe that you have the ability in the long term to build something so good for people and it serves people greatly that the money comes in, not because you are chasing money, but because the impact is so great that people are willing to spend money because it's worth it. You're not using that business model for people to say, you know what, I'm not too sure, but I'm just going to give it in a lot of money. Like, people don't tend to do that. People actually pay the money
And then they understand, yo, it was so worth it that I'm willing to pay this much money because I get...
You want to be financially free, right?
I would like to, yeah.
How are you planning on doing that?
I don't have a big plan like that yet because financial freedom is, it's a big deal.
Well, can I go back to the business part?
Yeah, go ahead.
So there's a business model called service-based businesses, and that's pretty much, that can be personal training, that can be any sort of business that serves people in a certain... That's a service-based business. Yeah. So if I say I want to be financially free by serving people through training them or giving them online training plans, coaching them, whatever it is, now what?
Like, do you care about the money you get from the clients, or you care about the clients?
Of course I care. I care about a lot of things.
Which one do you care more about?
Client.
Exactly. That's where I am. I am not...
Mm-hmm.
You really are choosing. You either care about one or the other, and you can't care for both. And you guys are telling me here that you can also care about being financially free and also care about serving people. And I'm telling you, you can't. And I'm not the one telling you this. The Bible is the one telling you this. And you guys are thinking I'm the one telling you this. Go read it yourself and it will tell you what you are like. Are you really choosing?
There's a big misunderstanding.
That's what I'm saying. Because you guys are thinking that I'm telling you guys that you can't, you don't have to make money and you can't make millions of dollars. What I'm telling you is you can't have both. I'm pretty sure, Mike, from this day on, if you started chasing money, you would not care about your clients. But if you cared about your clients, the mm-hmm. money is just a byproduct. So mm-hmm. you're either chasing this or the other.
Yeah.
So that's what my point is. But you guys want to hear and tell me you can chase both. Or even
make, I could bet that...
Can you strive for both? How about that? Do you believe that you can strive for both?
I could bet that the amount of episodes we've done and the private talks we had, there's nothing more clear than the agreement that we all had about this specific thing that you just pointed out. So I do not understand why there was a disagreement in the first place. There had to be some misunderstanding.
Because it matters what you say. Because what you say make...
How many times did we talk about the money is the byproduct of your work?
How many times so why did I... Okay, and I can tell you something. How many times did I tell you this certain thing that I'm telling you, but that you realize right now? You see, the problem wasn't that. Because you guys weren't understanding in what context I was separating those two. Because you guys, your idea was this. You either broke and you don't have money at all. Yeah. Or you have the other one where you just help people and you just, I guess, preach gospel to them. But you guys wanted to connect those two together. And I was saying, you can't.
Maybe I'm overlooking financial freedom. But for me, financial freedom is a big deal. It's a huge deal. It's having actually a lot of money. That's how I look at it. Maybe I'm overlooking at like what financial freedom means. That's why I put that perspective is you either are financially free or you are kind of working for the rest of your life. But in a way where you pay, you kind of work check to check. You have a small business mm-hmm. where you serve people, but you're never like, actually, what can I do for fun? Where was my next vacation place? Like, that's not necessarily your mindset when it comes to you having a small business and you're working towards serving people with that business. But then okay. on the other
here's,
hand,
here's also another thing. I think
my
point wasn't towards you guys. I don't know why you guys got it on you guys. If we're okay, look, the reason why we're also doing this podcast is also yeah. talking about what's going on in the world, right? What are we talking this based off of? Why did we even want to make the episode of Christians being strong, right? We brought it off on something that we see in the world. I see this in the world. I see Christians saying you can make money and be a Christian. I can tell you that you can't. Just the same way you guys can say, and you guys are saying that you can't just serve the Lord and not care about the physique you have, not care about the strength that you have, and not care about what you eat, what you consume, and all these type of things. And consumption doesn't have to be only food, but what you consume in this world, politics even, right? You can't consume all these things and be a Christian at the same time, right? In a sense, you can't be into... caught up into politics and what's going on in there. Because
would you say Charlie Kirk is a Christian?
I don't know much
in
about
your
him.
Opinion.
I don't know who I know.
You just made a statement, but then you said I don't know him. So why are you making statements? But then well, when then, I asked
I never mentioned person, Charlie Kirk, you're the one that brought him up.
No, you're making a statement that you said, I mean, how can you truly be a Christian or truly
is he in
serve
politics?
God.
Is he deep in politics?
I mean, his whole agenda is kind of based on politics.
Okay.
He's a political...
Do you think you can serve God and make a lot of money? Not by you serving God and then you make... Or it's not... You make a lot of money...
You never know. That's the thing. I do not know. And then another is you will never know. How am I supposed to tell you that?
Well, I know for myself.
I don't think you can make a lot of money if it's not God's will. And you'll never know until somebody makes a lot of money.
You don't wait, say it again.
Serving God.
You don't think, what do you say?
I don't think you'll know until if that's
he says
what
you can't make what, a lot of money if it's not God's will for you. To do.
So I can't tell, I can't say what someone is doing is God's work. I mean, like God's will necessarily. Because if you say that, then everybody that is not a Christian that is making money, it's God's will for them to have money.
I believe that. Look,
you believe that?
If God, I want to be financially free, right? Let's say I want to be financially free. I want my business to, you know, bring in millions. Okay. If that's not God's will, right? Then I can't do it.
So be
now,
it.
Can I work hard towards trying my best to do it in a way where it's honest? Yes. But I will soon find out that if I have to use some corrupted system within my business to achieve that, and I can see a kind of a blueprint that it's possible, now that's when I'm stood up with a position. Do I choose or not? Right? Meaning, do I abandon the business? Not abandon business, but do I choose? Because look, I don't know. I never think that, I think the deceivement people have isn't whether the business will work or not, whether the business will work fast enough, meaning people think that it's got to happen in 5 years, 10 years. No, I believe that business can go on for 30, 50 years. Look, build a business, give it to your next generation. Maybe your kid has a gift of building that business better than you did. Don't give up on the business itself, but don't chase the business bringing in money right now. There are businesses that
was my point. That was my whole point.
Like 70, 80 years.
That was my whole point because right. I'm not talking about few people. I'm talking about the majority of people and how they view just the same way we like, you know what I mean? Like somebody could debate you guys on the same topic, say, well, why are you really focusing on, you know, Christians having good physiques or, you know, how are you know that they're really followers of Christ if they don't have, what if they don't have muscle? What if they don't work out?
Does I would that talk to that person Christians? Because look, if somebody has
but we're
an
talking
injury
on the
or...
majority level, right? What how Christians might get complacent. In the same way, Christians can get corrupt thinking by, you know, this is what God is calling me to make money.
100%. Corruption is everywhere.
There we go.
Corruption is everywhere. However,
I don't know why you guys didn't understand in the beginning.
Look, when you walk in somewhere and you see probably very few people out of, I would say, hundreds that are fit, there's a concern of not just everybody has an injury or everybody has a bad circumstance, but there's something within the discipline of how their mindset is with exercising. We live in America at the end of the day. We have to also consider that. We have to consider that somebody may really want a good physique, let's say, but then the environment doesn't support that. That's why we need more personal trainers who have a right intention for people, right? We need more Christians who can place that, who can play that role. We need more Christians to preach to people, not for materialistic needs, but to use that gift that God gave you to make money for his glory. You can choose not to, but we need more people to preach that message. So if you can be that one more additional person who does that, why not? Especially if it's your gift.
Can you please pull up Matthew 6:24, and I want you to read it, and I want you guys to what do you guys think?
Can you of that? What is it?
Just read it. Matthew 6.
And then before I do that, I searched up, how did Solomon make money? It says, King Solomon was incredibly wealthy and Bible gives us several clear ways that he made and accumulated money. His wealth was not only from inheritance, but also from strategic trade, tribute, taxation, and economic systems. He had an understanding of this unique economic systems and strategic trades and all that stuff. And he said, and this it says, here's a breakdown, and it gives me biblical context. And one, number one, tribute from other nations. Bless you. Tribute from other nations. 1 Kings chapter 10, 24 through 25. All the earth sought the presence of Solomon. Every one of them brought his present. Bless you. Brought his present, articles of silver and gold, garments, myrrh, spices, horses, and mules. Foreign kings and rulers.
Bless you.
Yo, I think Father's just shooting up your nose.
He refuses to be allergic.
Foreign kings and rulers paid tribute. So it wasn't just Solomon doing it all by himself. Look, foreign kings and rulers paid tribute to honor Solomon's wisdom and maintain peaceful relations with Israel.
He was a very, very influential man. Like Solomon was like no other. That's why he says he was the wealthiest. So imagine other kings, other business owners coming to Solomon saying, we pay the tribute to you. We give this money so you can double it for the glory of God, right? Look.
How many kings were like that?
I'm just saying, for example, I'm not too sure.
I'm just asking a question.
Followers of God, but.
How many were them in the Bible? As far as I'm concerned, there was only one.
Solomon?
Yep.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned. Like that.
I know too. Yeah. 1 Kings 4:7-28. 1 Kings 12:4. Solomon divided Israel into districts, each responsible for providing food and supplies for the royal household. He was like a good boss. He was a man who honestly cared for every single person and made sure that things are not getting corrupt. Not because he had a wisdom of his own. He had the godly wisdom and discernment and a gift to be able to tell if something is getting corrupted, I'm not going to let that person be in charge. I'm going to make sure that how things are run is for the glory of God. He had that ability. That's the ability we're talking about. Not the ability to be corrupt making money, because many kings had that. Only few had this responsibility. So when we do say that as a Christian, I'm a business owner, whether you want it or not, in my opinion, you have a big responsibility in God's eyes. You really do. Same with when you say, I make a lot of money to serve people for God's glory, just like what Isaiah was saying. Believe it or not, he has a big responsibility that he better hold himself accountable, other Christians. And at the end of the day, if let's say
you're still going back to the same one, we're not talking about one few people. We're talking about this topic isn't about, okay, because then you have to, okay, then you got to do this. Ready? This is what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're taking Isaiah, who we love,
right,
who we trust, and who we know what he's doing and how he loves Christ.
Right.
And then, well, take another person that we can compare then. You know, like, stop doing that. You're doing that to say it can't be like that. Sadullah, one person doesn't mean everybody else is like that too.
Okay. I think we can all agree on the majority level though, it's doesn't look like that. Not today's world.
Boom. Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
It's not.
But the reason why we talk about specifics is to break it down into a smaller increments so there's a clearer and a better understanding on how things actually are. Because guess what? If I go out and look at the world, I'll be honest, I can easily lose the sight of God's glory by just focusing on what the world does. I don't focus on what Mike's doing, what you're doing, what
he's doing. And you can't focus on two things.
Can I read Matthew 6:25? Right? Is it 25, right?
24.
6:24. Okay.
And for me, sorry, that verse straight up is like, I don't know. It's like you read it and you'll guys know. It's straight up for me.
All right. And we're going to wrap this up soon, all right?
Yes,
so
sir.
It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Amen. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?
Well, so, you're going too far. That was
already. But that was 24. The next verse after. I think that was important.
That was 24 and 25. 100. I agree with that. And that gave me a clear
understanding.
Read 24.
Yeah, sure. The 25 is the context of that.
I did read 24.
Bottom, no, I know. What do you guys think? What's that telling you?
No, it's you so can't clear. Serve two masters.
You can't. You can't love money and God at the same time. You love God so much, though, that this money can be used for good reasons. You cannot chase money and say, money is my idol and I love it.
Or I think, either,
you guys missed this part or something, maybe I'm understanding wrong. Either you hate one and love the other, or you love the
one. I'm convinced you are understanding it.
You either hate one
with a narrow mind,
or love the other, or you love one and you hate the other. How do you understand that? Maybe I have a wrong understanding. Educate
I think me. You're looking at it from a very narrow-minded perspective.
Okay. Yeah, I am. Let's just put in the perspective that I am.
Okay.
Tell me, what am I looking in the narrow mind when it says that? What does that tell you? Looks like you're not narrow-minded and I am. What does it tell you then?
You cannot love money more than God. What does that look like?
No, it doesn't say more than God. It says either you hate one and love the other. Doesn't tell you more, less.
So do you hate money?
Yeah, I actually do. Because that's not something I care for. I don't. Mm. I hate one and I love the other. That's why my whole message is you can't put one with the other.
Okay, so you're going to make money?
See, here we go with that. Like, of course. Well, of course. No. I'm not. Look, you see, how you're putting making money is different. I'm working. I'm getting the byproduct, which is money.
Mm-hmm.
How am I saying, yo, I love money?
Yeah,
that's or fine. How am I saying that I'm never gonna? When did you hear me in the beginning of the episode? I literally said there's nothing wrong with having money. Mm. I don't know why you guys have an idea that
I do not rebuke you for that. I think your calling is that same thing is look, you don't maybe you don't have the business mindset. Maybe I don't either. I'm not seeing myself as a business mindset. Like as of right now, bro, I wouldn't say I have a huge business mindset. Maybe I can have it more than depends who you compare me to. But at the same time, there's levels to it. You're going to find somebody who has a better business mindset than I do, better business perspective than I do, right? But as of right now, I don't think like that about myself. However, I do pray. That's what I'm saying. When I pray to God, I don't ask him, give me money. I ask him to use me for his glory and his kingdom, whatever that means. I mean, if he wants to bless me with that much money, I ask him that he also gives me the wisdom and the discernment that I am with him through those times of abundance. Because I do not want to have that abundance and not have him, right? Same with what Mike said last episode. He says, if God doesn't want it for me, I don't want it. If I'm going to do something where God's not there, I don't want it. Same thing with me. If I'm going to be the richest man in the world but have no God, I don't want it. But if I'm going to have God and have the richest, I know that I will use that money for his glory.
Okay. Same thing. That can go with anything though. I can say same thing. I don't like money, for example. I don't want to like have millions. That's not my goal because I don't think, I'm just saying like, I don't think that's not my goal, right?
That's fine.
And then, but God wants me to, make millions and I guess be King Solomon in this case. I'm just going to use
an example.
I'm just putting an example right there. If I do, like, how are you going to know that though? You know what I mean?
Which one?
That's where it gets tricky.
That's what I'm saying. I may not never know. However, I do believe that when the Bible tells us there's not going to be a lie that will not be revealed, your fruits will be shown. I may not see it, but I can promise you somebody who is maybe more biblical, more spiritually enlightened than I am, we'll probably see at some point.
But I don't know why feel like there's a big misunderstanding and I don't like where it's going because even Mike asked me like, do you hate money? And then I said no. And then he goes like, well, why are you working for money?
Yeah, I think
What is your perspective on how about this? How would you?
I don't agree with why he asked that either. But because he probably thought
because you guys still have the understanding that I don't care about, but like you guys, I feel like we all have a misunderstanding with how I view money and how you view money, right?
Hmm.
How do you guys view money? How about that? Let me break it down simply and ask you, how do you guys view money?
Bro, I said,
how do you view money?
It's an exchange of value.
Exactly. That's how I view it. That's why I'm working and the money is byproduct.
Yeah.
So why did the question come up with, do you hate money or not? How about this? Do you love money or not?
Do I love money? No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say I love money. No, I wouldn't say I love money.
That's why you can't really ask the question. Do you love money or do you hate money?
I love God. I love Jesus.
Yeah.
That's why I love.
I don't really think about it like that.
It's like saying, do you hate food? Okay, let's just say I'm foolish and I say, yeah, I hate food. Now somebody can be like, well, why are you eating then? You know, like, It doesn't. Okay. Those two things don't sit with each other. Not everything.
So what does it
sits with each other?
So the reason I asked you that question
just
was
the
because
same way. Money and God. They don't sit with each other.
Does it look like when someone hates money?
What does it look like?
Yeah. What does that look like?
The way I see it is, they hate the idea of, getting rich, like getting wealth and being in materialistic things. I want to have a good house. I want to make sure that I have a good car because that is what's going to ultimately make me glorify God. Because look, how can I live in this abundant world where there's atheists, there's Muslims, there's Jews, there's all these people that don't believe in Christ, but they have money. How can a Christian not have money that is a follower of Christ? That's where we get caught up. Now Christian, now Christian that loves God, now they want to be in the same box and make money, make sure that Christ is winning and he's stronger, their God is stronger because they're making more money than them. But who cares?
Why are we getting caught up in that?
Who cares?
That means we're conforming.
That's exactly what we're saying. Yeah. Why do we have to live with that mindset? Why wouldn't God want me to make millions? Why do I not have to be financially free? When did God ever tell you, Sadula and my followers, you guys have to be financially free and you guys have to live in the good houses?
Yeah, he never encouraged us for that.
Exactly, he never did.
Yeah.
And the way he sits with me is because he distinguished money and himself like apart. He never put them together at all. He makes sure
that it stays that way because money can corrupt people easily and we've seen that. Power can corrupt people. We've seen it in the Bible. That's why when you see Christ, he always separated power and the authority in a way where it was humble. He took away the power from people who used it corruptly. He gave it to people who used it well. He humbled the kings who used it bad.
There you go.
Right? So same with money. I can promise you that somebody who's going to make that much money, right, and wants to be a follower of Christ, at some point, they might have to give it all up. There was this man, and I think Cliff mentioned this. There was a man who was very rich, made a lot of money, but then was called and became a follower of Christ, was saved. And guess what he did? He gave all the money away. He donated. He didn't necessarily go and make money anymore. You know why?
Why?
Because his calling was different from God. God had a different purpose for him.
See, another thing I would say to that is, you know, when people want to set goals with being financially free and having business and having money, the reason why I don't like to connect those two things with a purpose that we're given, right? Yeah. And we all know this. And if you ask a Christian, like, bro, when you ask Isaiah, what do you think the purpose is? He says he wants to do this, everything in the glory of God, to help people. So that is his goal. But when you ask a businessman what his goal isn't to say, to glorify. He wants to make money. He thinks that making money is the one thing that can ultimately be the reason he can serve people. But there's so many ways that you can do it. Another thing with that is when you start to focus on that type of things, you start to leave out what you actually have to do.
Right.
And another thing with that is when I start to have, how about this? When I have this mindset to make sure that I have to be financially free and I have to have a good house and I have to make sure that when I'm going to have family, I'm going to have to be making enough money for me to actually have a big house, make sure that my family is never like hungry sense, right? Now, see, this is what you're doing. Like realistically, you are focusing on this thing that is not necessary to focus on when you know that God will provide that for you.
Right. So why even have the, I guess, as a Christian
in a sense, like I would be bold enough to ask everybody this question. Why then do we want to be financially free? Why do we want to have that expectation when it's not?
Because we're flawed.
Something that we have to...
We're flawed and the devil exists. The devil is sometimes in those details where you see these Christians saying, why should I be physically fit and work towards that? Because that requires work. And guess what? A lot of work, a lot of dedication, a lot of discipline. When I'm going to have a new body in heaven, that is simply saying, I do not respect my temple that my spirit lives in. So I can let go of myself, indulge in my own pleasures, because God will give me a new one. Same with Christ forgave me my sins. I don't need to do good works. I don't need to reflect his glorious image on this earth. I'm forgiven. Selfish. Same with your body. If you take your body as a selfish thing that God gave you as a gift, you are using his gift and his image by corrupting it. So you cannot put two people next to each other who is physically in shape. And physically in shape usually almost always correlates to being healthy. Almost always. Not maybe, you know, if people are on steroids, that's a debatable topic. But when you're physically fit naturally, you're healthy, right? When you eat healthy food, you can tell that you are internally healthy.
junk food, you're internally dirty. So when we have these abilities, we can easily corrupt it by choosing either what is, you know, given from God, which are super clear.
And that's what that's what my point was, like, God. When you start to chase all that and have expectations that I have to be financially free, you could fall into a pit, and then like it could destroy you, because this is what you're saying.
Yep.
How can God love me that I'm not financially free, but I'm asking for it? I want to be financially free, but God's not giving it to me. That's a devil's trick to take you away from that. Chase that. Look, chase this money. Because what if God can give you that? But
I couldn't agree anymore.
That's what my point is. That's why even call it striving, call it working towards it. Doesn't matter. You are still going towards that thing that you shouldn't be. God wouldn't separate those two things if they didn't need to be separated. I think it's more than how it sounds, though, because it does sound good, though. Like, why can I also be successful,
to be very, very
make a lot of money,
and
also be a follower of Christ?
All right, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
It's about time, right?
Yeah, I got to.
What is the time?
4:30, 4:26. So
no, like we set the timer right on how
it's 1 hour.
I never pressed it. Oh, but yeah. I kept
no,
the
we
time.
Have it here. It's 1 hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, this one.
Yeah, please. Let's do.
I gotta leave in 4 minutes, guys. 3 minute drive. House.
Take the green one.
Nah, it's fine. It was a good talk.
Be joyful in. Wait. This is interpretations. So I guess, what does it mean to you? It says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Romans 12:12.
Let me see.
Be joyful.
Be joyful in hope. Yeah. Interpretation. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Yeah. So when you pray, you got to have faith that it will happen, because you're praying to God and you believe in his power. You're also submitting to his power through prayer. And there is patient in affliction. So if something's not going your way, you're patient in it, that God, you know, you're the one in charge. Ultimately, being joyful in hope, you are feeling happy, joyful in the fact that you're hoping for something, because you know who's behind all of it. So all these three point to who's behind all of these faithful, patient, and joyful moments. God Almighty. That's how I look at it.
Can you search up real quick, faithful in the meaning in the Bible, real quick?
Right.
Because I want to say something. Because I've one of you.
You got it.
Faithful means loyal, trustworthy, and consistent in your commitments, words, and actions, especially over time. So faith is the thing that you have, and being faithful is like the trait that you get from having that faith.
The one thing
over
I do want to mention is when I was a new Christian, my understanding of faith was faithful in prayer. When I would read it a lot of times, it's mentioned a lot in the Gospels, I would think whatever I pray for, because I'm faithful to Christ, I'll be granted to that type of things. But because another thing, being faithful in a prayer, is that, you know, a lot of the times people want to be one of those humble, in quotes, humble, say, oh, if you don't give it to me, it's fine. But then they're so buttered about it that they're not given. So that's, I think, my understanding also, being faithful in prayer, that you actually ask for what is needed. If you're actually lacking, or if you're getting angry too much, but that's not something you're praying for, are you really being faithful in a prayer? If something that's, why, if that doesn't bother you, but it bothers you that you're not given what you're asking for God, why should God give you something that you're not striving to be closer with Christ, and with personality too? Yeah.
You're demanding it.
Yeah, exactly. In a faithful way.
You got anything to say about it?
No, I agree.
If you want to, you can read it, because
No, I mean, it's a pretty simple verse. Be joyful in hope, that patient in affliction, faithful in prayer.
Man, that's what we're called to do.
Yeah, Paul's a G.
Throw that.
What?
Okay, quote of the day. Yes. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. John 13:34. This is a beautiful quote by the man himself, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ.
Shut up.
That's why I say that.
Go.
Oh, you want me to do the shout out?
Yeah.
Wow, y'all really made the whole setup less dark and gloomy. I like the new look. Video and sound quality has gotten so much better. Wow, thank you. Thank you, average Patriot. .14. Is it dot dot?
Yeah, it's
and
dot, dot.
I want to give a credit because of this. The man behind the cams made it possible.
Hey, we have a producer now.
Of the light, the producer behind the cams.
He is not getting paid.
So give thanks to my boy, Gio. Thank you, bro.
Hey, Gio.
Yeah, and thank you for the spam hearts for Gio.
Yeah, for sure.
In the chat.
In the chat. W in the chat for Gio.
W in the chat.
Chat.
Okay.
W in the chat.
Guys, I got to go home. So, ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1. Think big. Grow big.